I want to take just a moment of personal privilege and say a shout out to my father, who is in hospice and not expected to make it just a few more days. And I spoke with him briefly, and I'll tell him again if he's happened to be listening that I love you and that our prayers are with you. And he's got a great story. He's got a story of a lot of brokenness in his life, but yet he came to know Jesus, and Jesus changed his life. And I know that he's preparing to go to heaven. He's preparing to go see his Lord, and for that I'm eternally grateful. I know that God is going to speak to us today. I'm confident that he is here. He has a message for you. I do believe that Jesus is a chain breaker. He has the power to break the things that hold us back from being the people that God is calling us to be. Our Father God, I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would move through your word. I pray that you would speak all across this campus. I pray you'd use Trevor as he preaches in the sanctuary. Lord, as I speak here, I speak totally in your strength, totally through your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray again for that person here today that feels totally consumed, totally controlled, that you can break the chains. Now, Lord, move in us today, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Shortly after Jim came to my office and knelt there to receive Jesus into his life, we went to lunch together. We're having lunch, and there was a family that was seated beside us with two small children. And Jim had a tear in his eye, and I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, you see those two kids there. It used to be whenever I was around children, and babies especially, I always made them cry. And now they're cooing and smiling." And my word to Jim was, I said, "Jim, back in that day, those children could see the devil in you. And now they can see Jesus in you. Because Jesus truly changed his life." Jim would tell us this morning that it didn't happen overnight. He met Jesus in an instant, and Jesus forgave him. But his transformation is ongoing. And I would say to everybody in this room, as none of us have arrived yet, that if you've been set free by Jesus Christ, you're still, as I am, a work in progress. I love the story we're going to read today. It's a story of a man that was consumed. Just like Jim, he was chained and controlled by forces he didn't know how to beat on his own strength. Jim was consumed by the demons of addiction to alcohol and cocaine and other things in his life. But I want you to stand for a moment as we read about a man who was chained and consumed and controlled. And because of all of that, he was also confused. I think it's important for us to make a note today that when we are consumed and controlled and chained, we often find ourselves confused about truth and about reality. Reading to you from Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. So they arrived at the other side of the lake. Now, it's important to note that on the way across the lake, that they experienced a great storm, so much that the disciples thought they were going to die. But Jesus was able to calm the sea. So he calmed a force of nature, and now he's getting ready to experience a human that was being tortured in his soul. And also I want to say this, you're standing, you're already standing, that's wonderful. I encouraged you a couple weeks ago to start bringing your Bible to church. That's not a typical practice for Methodists. I think it's because we got it memorized, right? So we don't bring it. But I want to encourage you to bring your Bible, because I've carried every Sunday we're going to read from it. Now, and also I share that if you haven't got a Bible, you can take out your smartphone, and our password guest network is Prayer Works, capital P, capital W. So you can pull it out and look at the word, because we're going to spend some time in it. So continuing in chapter 5, in the region of Gerasenes, it's where they were traveling at, when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me? Why are you interfering with me?" My friends, I think there are times in our lives whenever God is trying to reach us that we interpret it that he's interfering with us, because we have our own agenda. We have our own direction. We're being consumed by something that's controlling us, and God is interfering. He's making me feel uncomfortable. He's convicting me. "Jesus, Son of the Most High, why are you interfering with me? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." Really? "Don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. So we find a man here that's in a bad way. He is being tormented. Emotionally, he's being consumed. He is out of control. He is cutting himself. He's even suicidal. He's confused that God is out to get him. And my folks, I want to tell you that whenever you are being consumed by something that is not God's will, you will believe that God is against you. Evil would want you to believe that God is not for you, but God is always for you. I believe that God tells you the truth to make you better, and evil lies to you to make you worse. This man was deceived by this presence that was in his life. You know, I'm not going to do a whole sermon, and no way I could do a psychological analysis of this passage and what were the demons and get into a whole thing on demon possession. And I'm just going to try to work our way through what happens in this story. But I believe that in all of our lives, we know about chains that torment us. There are those hidden tormentors that work inside our psyche and inside our soul, inside our brain. I want to try to give you three areas, I think, that we see some of those sources. The first is our own choices, our choices that we make, bad choices that lead to toxic relationships, bad choices that lead to addictions, choices that lead to guilt and fear and anxiety, choices where we dabble in just a little bit of sin, a little bit of evil. You know, other folks are doing this. Other folks are seeming to be okay with this. I'm gonna experiment a little bit. I'm gonna dabble a little bit. And I'm sure if Jim was up here with me, he would say that's kind of how he got involved in cocaine. Just try a little bit of it. It won't hurt you. It won't harm you. It'll be fun. And I'm sure it was fun. A lot of fun times. But fun times often lead to dysfunction and destruction, as we see in this story, and we hear it from Jim's testimony. I was talking to a young man a couple days ago who came by the church, exploring how to grow in his faith in Jesus. He didn't know how to which Bible to get. He didn't know there were different versions of the Bible, different translations, and he wanted some help. He was looking for some direction, and I was literally taking him and showing him four or five different Bibles that he could choose from. And it recommended and he wanted an original translation. I said, "Well, that may be a little difficult to understand, the Greek and the Hebrew, but let me give you what I think is the closest to that." gave him a devotional book to take with him. But you know, one of the things he said to me, he says, you know, my biggest struggle is I'm consumed by social media. I spend way too much time on social media. And see, I think you all know that social media can easily create a negative narrative, a destructive narrative about who we are and what's going on in the world. I made the mistake last week to sign up for Twitter. That was very painful. And so if you no longer see me there, it's because I have gotten rid of that out of my life. You know, just so I do not need to be on Twitter. And so I've confessed that to you, and I'm done with it. But this false narrative and this negative narrative that we allow to come into our life by our choices can cause us to feel consumed and controlled. But I also want to be very real about what's going on in this passage. I texted my good friend, Steve Arneson, and I was sharing with him some things I was going to talk about. He says, you know, don't forget that this passage is talking about real evil. And there is in our world, folks, in addition to our choices, there is an occult conspiracy. In this gospel story, Jesus is confronting real evil. He's confronting demonic oppression and demonic possession. And one of my favorite verses that I have built my faith around is John 10:10. It's all over this place because it's my spiritual, scriptural DNA. And I know it as Jesus came to give us life and life abundant, but sometimes we forget to read the first part of that verse. Verse 10, it says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Make no mistake, there is a thief in this world that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's Jesus speaking, telling us, watch out. There is a conspiracy that is evil in this world. And he says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Not rich in material things, but rich in joy, rich in peace, rich in love, rich in goodness and kindness and gentleness, the kinds of things that God wants to bring in our lives, a satisfying life. But there is one who is trying to steal your joy, trying to kill your God-given purpose, and ultimately trying to destroy your life. Make no mistake about it. I believe the number one strategy of evil is to convince us that the devil is not real, is the number one strategy. That, you know, that evil thing, that devil thing, that's just all make-believe and it's not real. I believe it's the number one strategy that evil has, is to say it's not real. But what is the number two strategy? Is to convince us that there's a devil behind every bush. And I don't believe that either. I don't believe that everything that happens in this world is caused by the devil. Some of it's caused by our poor choices. Some of it's caused by living in a broken creation, in a broken world. But make no mistake, there is an evil presence in our world, and we see manifestations of that all the time. As we read about some of the terrible things that happen all over our world, Jesus is demonstrating his love for a man that is out of control. He is living in the tombs. He has no home. He is chained. He is tormented. He is cutting himself. And Jesus loves him. There is no condition that you and I have that Jesus will not love us in our condition. And this man is loved by Jesus. And I'm sure that there are people in this room that someone who had an evil intent has harmed you. Whether through a physical abuse or a sexual abuse or an emotional abuse, you've been harmed by someone who had an evil agenda. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ is here for you to break the chains that are consuming you about that situation, that God can set you free and bring you healing and bring you deliverance. One of the names for Satan is accuser. And I believe that one of the ways that evil works in our lives is accusations. That people that don't even know us hurl accusations against us. That manipulate the truth and manipulate reality. And through dysfunction, they're bent on destruction. And so, my friends, don't listen to the false narrative. Don't listen to the accusations that come from the accuser. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life abundant. Jesus said, I come to love you. How much do I love you? I want to give you my life. I want to lay down my life for you. And then let me say one other area. I want to talk about our choices, an occult conspiracy, but also I want to be clear that not every problem is physical and not every problem is spiritual. And sometimes problems are emotional. And sometimes our chemistry, our brain chemistry, the chemistry in our body can get out of whack. Our wiring can get broken or even distorted. And that's why we have wonderful Christian counselors and wonderful places where you can go and talk to a person who can help you, maybe even a physician, maybe your doctor. When I go meet with my doctor, I love my doctor. We talk about my physical condition. And then he says, how are you doing? Then we talk about me. And we always pray together. We always deal with some of the things maybe that I'm tracking on the inside. And friends, sometimes we need to be treated for some mental anguish that's in our head. There is, I believe that mental illness can be just as prevalent as any other illness that we battle. And we don't need to be in denial about that. And God wants to bring healing and bring help. And certainly that's a huge topic in our country where we need to be able to talk openly about mental illness. So sometimes our chemistry is out of balance. But I believe that God can work through medicine and God can work through counseling and God can work through physicians and God can get us healthier and bring us renewal and revival in our hearts and our minds. You know, I love what 2 Timothy says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Because the reality is, no matter what's going on in our head and what's going on in our heart and the choices we're making, and as we confront evil, we've got to have some discipline. We've got to make some good decisions. We've got to put ourselves in a position where God can help us succeed and be effective and be the person he's called us to be. And then in 2 Corinthians, we read these words. Paul says in chapter 7, with promises like this to pull on, dear friends, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both within and without. Let's make our entire lives fit and holy temples for the worship of God. You see, in the end of this story, this broken man, this confused man, this controlled man, in the end of the story, is able to worship God. No matter where you are today, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're struggling with, if you will come to faith in Jesus Christ, you will be able to worship. You want to worship the world and worship the things of the world or whatever it is that's consuming you. If you will bring your brokenness to Jesus Christ, you will be able to kneel down and worship him. Because the great news, as Cameron sang for us, the team sang for us, Christ Jesus is a chain breaker. Amen? He is a chain breaker. I don't know what verse of scripture that Zach Williams wrote this great song about, the writer of Chainbreaker, but I'm guessing he could have been reading in Mark chapter 5, that Jesus is a chainbreaker. I love going on in the chapter, verse 11, there happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. Send us into those pigs, the spirit begged. Let us enter them. Evil is always going to go somewhere until Jesus totally obliterates it. So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man, entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. Can't you imagine that story? Hey, you're not going to believe what happened. There, you know, the crazy guy out in the tombs, you know, that guy that we know that's possessed. This man, I think his name is Jesus, but this man, you know, went, you know, talked to him, and all of a sudden, these demons that was in this man went into our pigs, and our pigs are gone. We've been just, you know, I mean, they're lively, they're upset, you know? And can you imagine the story? So I love the story. It says a crowd, people rushed out to see what had happened, and a crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, I love it, fully clothed, and perfectly sane, and they were what? all afraid. Isn't that sad? They were afraid because a tormented man had been delivered. You see, I know that Jesus has the power to break the chains of what consumes. Jesus has the power to break the chains of what consumes. Satan and evil are no match for Jesus. No match. And I can tell you, whether I'm here in Lexington or somewhere else or in a foreign country or in a tough situation, and I find myself in a head-on collision with evil, I can say in the name of Jesus, get behind me. In the name of Jesus, you have no control over me. In the name of Jesus, you are defeated because he has the power to be a chain breaker. See, I believe that Jesus breaks the chains of fear and sets us up to be fearless. You want to be fearless? Let Jesus break your chains of fear. I believe that Jesus breaks the chains of oppression to give us opportunities to change the world. I believe that Jesus breaks the chains of sin and allows us to experience the sacred, what is sacred and what is holy, because he breaks the chains of sin. I believe that evil tries to take sin and make it sacred, but Jesus reverses that. He breaks the chains of addiction and sets us up to live an abundant life. He breaks the chains of guilt and allows us to live a life of grace. He breaks the chains of regret and sets us up to live a life without regret. I know that in this room there are people who have regrets. You regret the decision that you made. You regret the choice you made. You regret the failure that you had. I'm here to tell you that if you will bring that regret to Jesus, to the chain breaker, he can only forgive what you did, but he can wash away that regret. And he can give you a new beginning to live a life without regret. And I go back to what Jim said. All of us in this room are sinners, except by the grace of God. The evil one wants you to hold on to your regrets forever. He wants them to be a chain around your heart and a chain around your soul. But Jesus Christ comes to unlock that chain, to break that chain. I love what A.W. Tozer said. He says, Jesus breaks the chains of perpetual regret. Do not live in perpetual regret anymore. Jesus comes to set you free. I believe there's no person, there's no situation that Jesus Christ can't change. I've staked my ministry on it. I've staked my life on it, that Jesus Christ is a change agent. And when we meet Jesus, he never leaves us the way we are. He always invites us into a new way and a new walk. This man was sitting there fully clothed, perfectly sane, a changed man. Now, at the feet of Jesus is where this happens. My friends, we've got to be willing to go to the feet of Jesus. A place of surrender, a place of discipleship, a place of transformation. And it's not gonna happen overnight. It's gonna be a process. It's not a one and done. It's an ongoing engagement with Jesus of transformation that will occur when we spend time at his feet. I shared yesterday Friday at men's prayer breakfast in talking about Jesus calming the storm and fear and bringing us peace, and how we need to pray for peace in the midst of storms, and that Jesus spoke over his disciples and over that sea an intentional reality that was inside of him over an external reality. Now, it sounds like a complicated thing, but when he met Jesus, his reality inside of him changed. And now he can go to friends who are struggling with this addiction or whatever it is and speak over them a new internal reality over an external reality. Jesus has the power to do that, my friends. He can take your situation and speak into it. That's part of what sharing our faith is about, is it's speaking the reality that he has changed us on the inside. I love what 1 John 4:4 says. It says, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over these people because, I want you to read it with me. It took the 9 o'clock crowd a long time to get that, but read it with me, starting with because, okay? Because the Spirit what this man kneeling at the feet of Jesus learned is that the Spirit of God is greater than any spirit that is in the world. Jim Watkins learned that the Spirit of Jesus Christ inside of him was greater than any spirit he was going to face on the planet. I walk out of here this morning not afraid of what I'm going to face because of the one who is inside of me, who has the power to give me strength and direction. Now, let's say a word real quickly about the curious and confused crowd. You know, this crowd gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, saw him sitting there saying, fully clothed, and they were afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs, those pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. One of the saddest commentaries in the New Testament, the people pleaded with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. We don't want you here, Jesus. We don't care what you did for this man. We want to do what we want to do, which is have our own livelihood. Just leave us alone. There are some times that we are afraid of inviting Jesus into our life because we're afraid of where he might take us. We're afraid of what he might call us to do. And we want to hold on to control. I want to do what I want to do, where I want to do it. I want to share with you this simple truth that everyone will not celebrate your decision to follow Jesus. Everyone will not celebrate that decision to follow Jesus. After I had lunch with Jim Watkins with the cooing, crying, smiling babies, I went to a Lexington football game down in Aiken that night. And I was riding with some fellows in a car, and one of the fellows who was a pretty rowdy guy said to me, he says, "Preacher, did I see you having lunch today with the most notorious sinner in Lexington, Jimmy Lee Watkins?" And I said, "Yeah, I was having lunch with Jimmy Lee Watkins today because he used to be a notorious sinner. Now he's a changed man. He's a believer in Jesus. And guess what? You are now the most notorious sinner in Lexington. But I'm free for lunch next week if you want to meet for lunch. And we can talk about Jesus and how he can change your life as well." Not everybody's going to be happy with the decision that you make. You know, Jesus saw a man worth saving, but the people saw a man that was okay for him to be tormented. And this man was commissioned to go and tell. I love what happened at the end of the story. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. He wanted to go on the road with Jesus. I mean, I get that, don't you? Hey, Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to go tell my story with you. Can I be a part of the team? But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things that Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. "Go and tell them what God has done for you." I love that God has the power to take what is useless and make it useful. A man that was useless, but God made him useful. You see, I think the full cycle of healing comes whenever God uses your hurts to help someone else overcome their hurts. This man got to go tell the world, his world, how Jesus had changed his life. And they got to see the transformation of his life. A prisoner of darkness became a messenger of light. I love what Francis Assisi said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." People should see that Jesus Christ has changed your life. When necessary, use words. And in John Wesley's words to his preachers, "Be prepared to preach, pray, or die at a moment's notice." Just go and tell the story. You know, he says for him to go to his home, go to his family. He did that. And sometimes that's the hardest people to go to. Many years ago, I went to my dad, who lived a pretty checkered life. And I told my dad about Jesus. It took many times telling my dad about Jesus before he believed in Jesus. Jim Watkins went and told his family. And one of my favorite people on the planet, who is here in this room, is on our staff, and I couldn't do what I do without her help. We couldn't do what we do in this church without her ministry. She's Jim's daughter. Her name is Stephanie, and she's here because Jim went and told his family what Jesus had done for him. And I'm sure Stephanie had prayed for her dad for a long time. But you see, that transformation cycle continues to bring transformation. You know, this man who was sent by Jesus to go to these area of his country, the 10 towns, you know, that's really the Gentile region. That's really where the church was going to go. And this man who is possessed is the forerunner of the gospel into a whole another part of the world that the Apostle Paul will go to in his missionary journeys. And this man, Jesus sends to go pave the way. And I'm telling you, no matter what you've done in your life, Jesus Christ can use you to change the world. He used this man to change the world. He can use you. I love what Christine Kane said. If you're going to carry God to your generation, you're going to have to make what you do know about God greater than what you don't know about the future. This man didn't know what his future held, but all he could do is go tell him what God had done for him. God, I was in a terrible place, but God took my life and he changed it. I got that story. Many of you have that story. Don't hold on to that story. Tell it. You know, over 2,000 years ago, we don't know this man's name, by the way. We never given his name. But 2,000 years later, because this man knelt before Jesus and was transformed, we're still talking about him. 21 years ago, Jim Watkins knelt on his knees in my office and invited Jesus to come into his life, and we're still talking about him. I believe that today, where you are, you can kneel beside your chair, and if something is consuming you, something is controlling you, Jesus can break that chain. Would you pray with me? Father God, I pray that right now, in these moments we have together, that your Holy Spirit will move across this room. Father God, as that man possessed by all those demons, a legion of them, 4,000, 6,000 in a legion of Roman soldiers, this man was consumed. He had no hope. And yet Jesus had the power to break all those chains. I pray that someone here in the room who feels hopeless and feels helpless, that Jesus Christ can bring grace and mercy into their life to change them. Father, as we get ready to sing a song, it's called On My Knees. This man got on his knees. Jim got on his knees. And right now, Father God, I'm on my knees. I want to pray for that person right now, Father, who needs to get on their knees. Lord God, I just know you want to speak to someone today. I know you want to change someone today. I know you want to help someone today. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray that his power would break chains.